Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We praise God. Hallelujah. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. We praise God for being here. It is Saturday, February 12th in Jesus' name, 2022. Yes, we praise God for being here on today. And if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice. My voice means nothing without Jesus. But if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living in Jesus' name. And that is a reason to give our Lord some praise on today. The Bible says, the songwriter says that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. That's the scripture, y'all. Amen. There's a song, too. Amen. But we praise God for being here on today. Amen. I thank God for being here with you all on today. I am filled with so much joy. Before we came on, I was talking to Bishop Cook, and I was expounding to her and sharing some stuff with her in Jesus' name. And on this week, oh my God, my God, my God, the Lord had me go into consecration on this week, and my God, Jesus, Lord, I'm telling y'all now, if you need something from the Lord, this is not the topic today, but this is just a word of encouragement for people. If you need something from the Lord, I dare you. Double dog dare you. That's two dogs, too. I double dog dare you to go into consecration. The Bible says, these things shall not be broken without prayer and fasting. Amen. Fast. If you fast, you last. If you pray, you stay. Amen. We praise God for our prayer, for the prayers of the righteous, because the Bible says the prayers of the righteous do availeth much. Amen. These will bring down the strongholds in our lives. Amen. Prayer and fasting and supplication unto God. Amen. We have a phenomenal, phenomenal topic today. It is a topic that we need in this time, and this is both for saints and sinners, amen, or those that don't know God, have never known about God, amen, for the ones that have gone astray, amen, this is for you, this is for the saint that's been born in the church, your pew baby, this is for the saint that just came into the church, you're a baby in the Lord, this is for everybody, amen. We are talking about hold on and let go. Hold on and let go. You might say, well, what do you mean hold on and let go? You saying two different things, Minister Adam. What are you talking about, hold on and let go? I was watching a minister or evangelist. She preached this sermon back in 1996 or 97, but it's on YouTube. And in her sermon, she was talking about holiness and how she did not understand why the mothers of the church back then would have somebody on an altar, would take them to the altar, and one of the mothers would be on one side and the other mother would be on the other side. And they would sit between that person, and one of them would say, hold on, And the other mother would say, let go. And she did not understand why these mothers were doing this. And as she was walking with the Lord, and as she began to walk in righteousness, the Lord began to reveal it to her why these mothers were doing what they were doing. And the Lord showed me this topic today. He gave me things to talk about with this topic, amen, and he told me to title it, Hold On and Let Go. The reason why we need to hold on and let go is the same thing that those mothers were saying, the mothers of the church were saying, hold on to God, but let go of the sin, amen. Hold on to righteousness, but let go of the weights, amen. The Bible says in lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you. Amen. So we need to hold on. This is just an encouraging, I've been assigned today to encourage the people of God today. This is not a bashing. This is not a correction. This is an encouragement. This is to encourage people to hold on. If you have This is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you fix your relationship and if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, everything else will plan out fine in your life. Everything about you will change. If you do not have a relationship with Christ, get a grip on a relationship with Christ. Hold on to your relationship. Amen. I want to start off with two passages of scripture on today. The title of this topic is Hold On and Let Go. And today we are talking about our relationship with Christ. Amen. Before I get started, I want to say a happy belated birthday to my beautiful, beautiful wife. Who celebrated years of life. Amen. I want to thank God for her. In Jesus' name, I thank God for you, babe. I love you in Jesus' name, and I hope to celebrate more birthdays with you in Jesus' name. Also, a early happy birthday to my son, my oldest son, Joshan. Happy birthday to you in Jesus' name. His birthday will be on Valentine's Day. Amen. Amen. So we praise God. Praise God for my oldest son turning 11 years old. Amen. A lot of these young people are dying off. So I praise God for my children being in the land of the living. I praise God for my wife still being in the land of the living. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's go to our first passage of scripture in Jesus' name. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verses 16 through 18. And you want to write these scriptures down, because I want you to go back and study. Amen. Study these scriptures. Study these scriptures, because these are powerful, powerful scriptures for you to increase or gain a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And then we're going to go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Amen. And then we're going to go to the book of Matthew, but we're going to read these scriptures first. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 first. Amen. Verse 16 reads, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And now we're going to go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Now let's go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 13. This is something that we really, really need from him. Matthew chapter 13, verses 37 through 46. Let's read that right now. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sown them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he has, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen. What this is saying, what these scriptures are saying to us today, is that we must be separate if we want a relationship with God. If you really want a relationship with God, you must not have anything before him, after him, between him. It must be all about Jesus. Your relationship with God must be most important thing in your life. You must not put anything above your relationship with God. There is a way that seemeth right to man, the Bible says, but the end thereof is death. There is death upon the world right now. There is sin upon the world right now. There is unclean things everywhere. But we must not take heed to what is going on in this present world. Because if we take heed to what's going on in this present world, now it's good to understand. It's good to understand what's going on because you know what to pray for. You know what to fast for. You know what to seek the Lord for. That's all well and good. I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is allowing the enemy, allowing your flesh, allowing people, allowing the naysayers to pull you away from the relationship that you have with God. This is why we say hold on. Hold on to what? hold on to God's unchanging hand. He will not change on you. Hold on to his righteousness. Hold on to the holiness of God. Hold on to the lifestyle of holiness that you have been taught. Hold on to the old landmark teaching. Don't take down. I heard a sermon that was titled, "I Will Not Take Down at a Time Like This." This is the time where people are taking down so much. They're telling false things to people. They're telling lies and hypocrisy is happening. And profane words are being brought out from false preachers from the pulpit, saying that you can live this type of way and you can live that type of way and you can live by grace and you're covered under grace and you can still do this and still do that and still be saved. The devil is a liar today. Sin has disrupted our relationship with Christ. If we don't get a grip on our relationship with Christ, we will lose everything. Everything spiritual that we have in him, the benefits of the name of Jesus, the benefits of a relationship, we will lose it all. And I said it at a Bible class. I said it's not worth us losing our relationship. Once you gain a relationship with Christ, once you have repented of your sins, once you've been down in the name of Jesus Christ, once you come up speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, like they did on the day of Pentecost, you live holy and righteous. You're living in holy. You have a holy lifestyle until the coming of the Lord or until you meet him by the grave. You will see heaven. You will see the Lord's face in peace. You will see him. But the day that you hear him, harden not your heart. The day that he comes knocking at your door, harden not your heart. This is a warning today for those that think, "I got a lot of time. I got so much time. I'm a young person, and I got this amount of time, and I got that amount of time." Time is not of the essence anymore. My time and your time. There's an old song that says, "Time is winding up. My time, your time. Time is winding up. God's time." Destruction is all over the land. We see it. We see the economy falling. The economy is in a great deficit right now. It may not. Now, I know the government term that, you know, we have a deficit and the government is underneath the deficit. I'm talking about the spiritual deficit that the world is in. The world is in a spiritual deficit, which means everything about the world, because the world is in a spiritual deficit or in a spiritual decline, because the Bible says as generations come that the world will wax worse and worse. Amen. So when the spiritual is in a deficit or in a spiritual decline, then the world falls into a decline. And I mean the whole entire world. I'm not just talking about the United States. I'm not just talking about Canada. I'm not just talking about various countries. I'm talking about the whole world. We see murders happening. We see death happening. We see people that are in perfect health, just they could be jogging down the street or just walking or just even sleeping and die off. We see diseases and destruction all over everywhere. Why? Because the Spirit of God is getting ready to rapture the church out. God is on his way back here. And he has given signs that he is coming again. And it is no time for us to give up now. There is no time to, I hear the voice of God say, you better wrestle. You better wrestle. Wrestle like Jacob wrestled with the angel. Jacob did not let that angel go until he blessed his soul. Do not let go of your relationship until you make it to heaven. Until you make it, you better hold on to your relationship with God until the coming of the Lord. Don't give up now. Don't give in now. Don't give in now. Don't give in. Thank you, Jesus. Don't give in now. Don't give up. Amen. There are going to be people. There are going to be prophets. There are going to be ministers. There are going to be bishops, deacons, evangelists. There are going to be false prophets coming to us, telling us that it don't take all that no more. It's happening now, and this is a warning from the Holy Ghost. In this last hour, I hear the Holy Ghost saying that in this last hour, false prophets are going to come and try to trick you, but you cannot fall for it. You cannot fall for it. When a preacher tells you once saved, always saved, don't you fall for it. When a preacher tells you you're covered by grace, yes, you're covered by grace, but don't you fall into sin. You ain't got, the Holy Ghost came that we don't have to sin. And there's a lot of preachers, and I got Bible to back this up. Amen. Anything I'm saying right now, I got Bible to back it up. Our sins have separated us from the righteousness and the plan of God. Our sin has stopped us from moving in the destiny that God has got for us. The final destination is heaven, but our sin has completely broken us apart from our relationship with God. How do I know? You might say, well, Minister Adam, how do you know that our sins, because God is loving, God is this, God is that. Yes, God is loving, and he's so loving that if a person continues in sin, he'll send you to the place that you want to go. Uh-oh. If a person continues in sin, let me show you that if a person continues in sin, God will judge that sin. If he did not love us enough, he would not judge the sin. He loves you. He loves I. He loves Bishop Cook. He loves Pastor. He loves First Lady. I'm going to take it deep. He loves Minister so-and-so. But if Minister so-and-so or Bishop so-and-so is in sin, he's going to judge that sin out of his love. And out of his love, if they continue in sin, I don't care if they bishop this, they could be bishop whoever, to the highest preacher, to the lowest person, to the lowest sinner. He don't care. He has no respect or person. You can be, look, thank you, Jesus. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be, I'm sorry to say it, but it's the word. I'm not saying anything. I'm not condemning nobody, but it is the word. It's time to preach truth now. It's no time for this watered-down preaching no more. Watered-down preaching is over. Watered-down preaching assignments are over. Time to stop patty-caking with the devil, put the devil on blast, put the devil on the forefront, and tell what he's doing. It's time now. It's been time. And I don't want to see nobody. I don't want to see no soul in hell. That is my own personal mission, is to see if I got to preach this thing, if I got to teach this thing, all the way until Jesus coming, which I'm going to do. It don't matter to me. And it don't matter who does what. It don't matter who goes where. You have to have the mentality, it don't matter if my wife don't want to go. It don't matter if my children don't want to go. It don't matter if my bishop don't want to go. It don't matter if my pastor don't want to go. It don't matter if my sister, my brother, my cousin, my friends, my enemies. It don't matter. I'm not going to hell for nobody. Or no thing. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? We see so many you know if that takes place and the Lord comes back, you're going to be lost. If you don't stop the gossiping and the lying and the whatever you're doing, if you don't stop doing that and the Lord come back, you're going to be lost. Well, for me too. If I'm doing that, if I'm doing anything that I'm big and bad enough to do, guess what? I'm putting this on myself. I'm not charging anybody else. I'm charging myself today. I'm charging myself now. If I'm sitting over there doing anything I'm big and bad enough to do, sitting over here saying, well, I'm saved, but I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I'm doing anything I'm big and bad enough to do, well, guess what? I'm asking the Lord. The Lord looks at, I hear people say, and I'm hearing in the spirit right now, well, I'm only human. I'm not perfect. Hear me, please. Stop saying I'm not perfect. Can be. You can be. Stop saying it, and you will be. Start saying I'm perfect. Not to boast yourself. I'm not saying that to boast yourself. Hear me today. When I say you're perfect, David was the apple of God's eye. Job was considered as a perfect and upright man. Why? Because of the spiritual status that he had with God. Because he held his integrity with God. Now, how can somebody that did not have the Holy Ghost, two men that did not have the Holy Ghost, be the apple of God's eye and be considered perfect in the Lord's eyesight? And you and I that can receive the Holy Ghost today not be perfect? Please, somebody let me know. If you want to come on this show and tell me I'm not perfect, I'll give you a reason why you can be. I'm just saying. The Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said we read the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. He wants to be in us. He said in his word that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, so if God in you and he's the perfect one, what does that consider you to be? Uh-oh. Job didn't have the Holy Ghost. But he was considered as a perfect and upright man. David didn't have the Holy Ghost. But David was the apple of God's eye. Uh-oh. They held on to their relationship with Christ. That's why. They let everything else go. Even though David did so much wrong. David was wrong. David was wrong. But guess what? There was two main things that he did that God was pleased with. Even though he sinned, he didn't have the power to let sin go, which was the Holy Ghost. So they lived in the Old Testament. Anybody that lived from the Old Testament up until the day of Pentecost, they lived by faith. Anything in the day of Pentecost up until now, you have the power of the Holy Ghost. If you receive the Holy Ghost, then you have the power to say no to sin. You have the power to say no to sin. And this was not in my notes. I'm going off what the Holy Ghost is telling me now. We have to hold on, because if we do not hold on, he's coming with rewards. Jesus, the Lord is coming with rewards. He's coming back for a church that have made themselves ready. How do I know? He said he said that he is coming back with rewards. Let's go to Revelations chapter 22, verse number 12. And I turn right to it. I turn right to it in my Bible. That's a blessing before God. Amen. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly. and my reward is what? With me. This is Jesus speaking. To give every man according as his work shall be. That means that if you are, because the Bible says work while it's day, because when night cometh, what? No man work. Night is coming. Night is coming. Right now it's daylight in the spirit. The Lord hasn't come back yet. The reason why, and the Lord has shown me this just a few seconds ago, the reason why it is daylight is because the Spirit of God is on the earth. He is the light of the world. He is the light. He is the life of the world. But when the rapture takes place, after the rapture, God's Spirit is going to be lifted off the earth, and that light is going to be gone. And it will be in, this world will be in utter darkness. In the spirit. And that's why you don't want to be left behind. That's why the Bible says work while it is day, because when night cometh, no man will work. Because the Spirit of God will be lifted up off the earth. And that's when night cometh. That's when night will come. And the devil will have his free reign over the earth. Right now, the devil is subject to the plan and the move of God right now on the earth. Right now it's daylight. You can see. You can see the salvation of God. You can see so brightly that you, if and the Bible says, thank you, Jesus. Oh my God. In Second Chronicles, I'm about to read. This is what the Lord told me to read. Second Chronicles 17 and 14. Let's go there real quick. Second Chronicles. The Lord, this is why we're able to work. This is why the devil does not have full reign over the earth. He's trying to give people time. He's trying to give people time to come on in. Even those that are in the church. Even those that are in the church. You're in the church. You're physically in the church. You're halfway spiritually in the church. But he needs all of you. He needs all of you. He wants all of you to be in him. And when I say in the church, I don't mean just in the building. I mean mentally there, physically there, emotionally there, spiritually there, in the church. Because he said he's coming back for a church that made itself ready. He is coming back for a church that had made itself ready. So how do we get ready? He has given us an outline. Second Chronicles, chapter number 7, verse 14. And he said this. Let's see what the Lord said. If my people, y'all know where I'm going. You know where the Lord is going with this. If my people, which are called by my name, that's Jesus, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He's talking to the church. He said, in my people, he said, you got the Holy Ghost. You're one of his. If my people, this is why some of this stuff is going on in the world, because the saints of God, the church of God, is not praying enough. We're not fasting enough. We're not in the word enough. We're not living right enough. But if my people, which are called by my name, many are called, but few are chosen, the Bible says, the ones that God has pulled out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has set you free. The Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You've been set free from the hand of the enemy. And now you've been called out for a purpose. You've been separate. But you still want to hold on to the little stuff. You want to hold on to the little stuff. I need a little dab of this over here. No. Why? Because the Bible says be careful for nothing. Don't you go tipping your toes out of there. Don't you go tipping your toes from up underneath the blood. Don't you go out just because you see little Henry or Miss Sarah over here. Miss Sarah can't do nothing for you when you stand before God. Henry can't do nothing for you when you stand before God. That car or that house can't do nothing for you when you stand before God, because you can't take it with you. And if you're left behind, you sure can't do nothing with it. Why? Because at the end of it all, when Jesus comes back and the rapture takes place, once the rapture takes place, and 1 minute from after the rapture, 1 minute after the rapture, the tribulation period starts and none of that stuff will be void. The money that you got, cars that you got, the house that you got, you're going to lose it all. And if you have salvation and if you left behind, you're doomed for failure. Well, how am I doomed for failure? You're lost. Because you had salvation. You had righteousness. You had a holy lifestyle. But you chose to step out on God. Uh-oh. And this is for the backslider today. Come on back home. Do like the prodigal son and come to your senses and come on back home. Come on. Come on back home. Come on. He's waiting for you. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Come on, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. How do I know? Let's go over with this scripture. Let's tie this in with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We done talked about Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 before. Let's go there right now. This is what the Lord has given. See, he understands what you need. He understands what you need. So he's going to give you what you need, whether you receive it or not. He's going to make sure you have what you need so you won't have to go before him and say, well, Lord, I didn't know. You knew. He took all excuses to the cross. This is why he gives you what you need, whether you receive it or not. He still gave you what you need to survive. It ain't just talking about naturally. It's talking about spiritually, too. He said it in 2 Corinthians that we just read it. We just talked about it. He gave you what you need. And he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I'm going to read verse 32 first because I'm going to tie both of them in there. For after all these things do the Galileans seek. So we're seeking something, whether you be Jew or Gentile, saved or not saved, we're all seeking something. Now the world, they're seeking happiness, they're seeking joy, but they're looking for life. They're seeking life, but they're looking for life in all the wrong places. Us that are in the church, we're seeking more of an abundant life, right? Amen. We're seeking more of abundant life. We're seeking more. So he knows what we seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. He didn't just say spiritually. He didn't just say naturally. But he said all things. And how do we get these all things in him? Because we're in a relationship with him, he makes sure that we have what we need. He makes sure that we have what we need. We read in 2 Corinthians that he'll be in us. He knew that we needed him in us to be able to live. That's why we go back to the scripture. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He knew that he needed to put himself inside of us, which was the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's why he said it. But verse 33 says, but seek ye first the what? The kingdom of who? God. And what? His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, a lot of people use that verse for materialistic stuff. It ain't just talking about materialistic stuff, and I did say ain't. Talking about just materialistic stuff. It's talking about the spiritual, too. a lot of these watered-down preachers would tell you that, hey, it's all you're going to get that new business. You're going to get that. Look, that's all well and good. If the Lord wants to bless me with a business while I'm on this earth, that's great. If the Lord wants to bless me with a new car, that's great. If the Lord wants to bless me with a new house, that's great. If the Lord wants to bless my bank account, that's great. But I'm not looking for that. This is not what I'm here for. This is what I have need of to live on the earth. But my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's why he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's going to build himself. He is the church upon this rock. That's why he calls us the temple of God, upon this rock. What is the rock? He was talking to Peter, and he was telling Peter, look, upon this rock, which means yourself, which means you, upon this rock, I'm going to build myself in you. I'm going to show you how to live spiritually and naturally. And if you learn, you cannot prosper unless your soul is prospering first. Now, you might be able to live. You might be able to gain the whole world. But as we read before, as we said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and what? Lose his soul. And what will a man give, what, in exchange for his soul? There is nothing in this world that I give over my soul for. I'm not going to hell for nobody. I'm sorry. I said it earlier. And I used to say it as a young child. I love my mama. I love my daddy. I love my sisters and my brothers. And this is before I got married. And I still say it to this day. I love my wife. I love my children. But can't nobody do me like Jesus. Because all of that can be gone. Lord forbid it happen. My father, my mother, my sisters, my brothers, my friends could turn away from me. We got the example in Job. Not saying that anything is going on, but I'm saying this for myself. If people go away, if money goes away, money ain't that. Look, money is the root of all evil. That's what the Bible says. Money is not joy. Money cannot bring you joy. Cars cannot bring you joy. Cars need to be fixed. Jesus' power don't need to be fixed. A car cannot rejuvenate your soul, because the car, as soon as it leaves the lot, it loses its value. Uh-oh, that house that you got, it loses its value, even though you got to do work on it to keep it up, to keep up the value. But once you receive this precious treasure, which is the Holy Ghost, you ain't got to do no work on the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to take out no loans on it. You ain't got to, as soon as it leaves heaven and comes into you, it don't lose its value. It's still the same value that it was when it left heaven. It's the same value, if not more, because it's leaning on the inside of you, and it's living on the inside of you. It ain't over you. It ain't under you. It ain't around. It ain't just around you, because I hear so many people say, well, I got the Lord around me. I don't want just the Lord around me. I want him on the inside of me, navigating in me. Walking around in me. There's an old song say, walk around, walk around. Walk around in me, Jesus. Because if I know he's in there, he's protecting me. He's shielding me. He's delivering me. Hold on and let go. Let go of the sin. Let go of the unrighteousness. Let go of the... Let go of the hatred. Let go of the hatred. Let go of hating your brother and your sister. Let go of the dislike. Come on. Well, the Bible says I have to love them. I ain't got to like them. You know what? That's a lie from the pit of hell. You ain't got to hang out with them. Ain't nowhere in this Bible say you had to hang out with them. But if you do have to love them, and you do have to forgive them. Forgiveness is not, I've heard it said thousands and thousands of times, forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you. I hear the Holy Ghost today. To that mother, to that father, to that son, to that daughter, to that niece, to that nephew, forgive. To that uncle, forgive. Forgive. I don't care how jacked up the other person is. Forgive. Forgive them. You better say it like Jesus, what he did on the cross, what he said on the cross. You better say, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Some of them may not know what they're doing. Because they, especially if you got the Holy Ghost and you hating somebody, you doomed for hell. I'm telling you now. This ain't no sugarcoating. You are doomed. If you keep that hate, don't you know that hate and envy and strife will keep not only affect spiritually, but it will start affecting you physically? I know. I've dealt with it. I'm going to tell you a personal testimony that I have. I have a testimony now, but back in the day, back when I first got saved, my father doesn't mind me saying this, because this is my own personal testimony. I have a biological mother. My biological mother, I love my mother. And I say this as a testimony now. I love my mother. But there was a time in my life where I couldn't stand my mother, because my mother had, for whatever reason, had left. And I'm not going to go into the reason, and I'm not going to go into the detail, because everything is not expedient. But it was a long time for me to love my mother, even though my father never, ever, not one time when I was younger, and even when I became a teenager, even when I became an adult, he never bashed my mother. He always told me, Adam, love your mother. But it was hard for me to love my mother because of the problems that I went through with my mother. Because it was for a long time, it was just me and my father. And I didn't have that mother figure. And I can honestly say, the God honest truth, I will say, I hated my mother for not being there for her son, for me, when I needed her. I had to get over that if I want to see heaven. You might say, Minister Adam hated somebody? Yes. But guess what? I let that hate go so long. This is why I'm saying it, because I've experienced it. I'm not saying nothing that's not in the Word of God. I'm not saying nothing that I have not experienced myself. That hate went over so long that hate started going off on other people. People that were actually trying to love me, I began to start questioning their love for me. I started throwing spiritual and natural spiritual daggers at them, because I thought, oh, this is false. I don't know nothing about you. And that's the way the enemy will play with your mind. The enemy will play with your mind so long, if you let him. He will play with your mind so long that you'll be blinded to the fact that real people are trying to love you. You'll be blinded to the fact what's false and what's real. That's what hate will do. And hate will physically take you up out of here. If you hating somebody, if you dislike somebody, you need to love, as love cures all things. How do I know? Because God said he is love. And if you want a better relationship with your husband, your wife, have your relationship with God first. You want to love your children better? You want to know how to navigate through the fields of life better? Get a relationship with Christ. Repent, get filled with the Holy Ghost, be baptized in Jesus' name, and get filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues of the Spirit, God gives the utterance, and live a holy, righteous lifestyle before man, before your husband, before your wife, before your children, and watch things change. He just said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, or in verse 32, that he knows what we have need of. He knows that we have need of love. Well, he knows that we have need of friends. Well, the only way to make friends is what the Bible says, to show yourself friendly. Mean and hateful people ain't getting nowhere. You might think you're getting somewhere. I know some people that are so mean and so nasty, you wonder why. How did you get this far being mean and nasty? How did you get this far being mean and nasty as a snake? The Bible did not say be a snake. It said be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Hold on to God. Hold on to your relationship with God. And if you do not have a relationship with God, get you a relationship with God. I'm talking about do all the steps to get that relationship. It's just like building a friendship with somebody. You got to build a relationship with God. But his arms are always open unto you. I you know what? I'm going to use this as an example. I love my wife. Before I met my wife, and my wife knows this, before I met my wife, I used to like this girl that used to go to my former church. And part of the reason why we did not end up together, one because of the Lord, amen. Number two was because things I had in my life. And I'm saying this as an honest thing. I was more focused on, this is what we do in the spiritual. We get more focused on the things that we got going on than the things of God. I was more focused on me having fun with my life than getting to know this female that I liked at that time. I was trying to, you know, and I was young. I was a teenager. I was young. I had all getting ready to turn 20, you know, that type of thing. But this is the thing we do in the spiritual with God. We focus on, I said that to say this, we focus on the wrong things at the wrong time. If we stay focused on God, and I got 5 minutes here, if we stay focused on God, God will help us navigate through those things that we are worried about. I was trying to stay focused on my friendship with this female at my church at the time, and then I was trying to stay focused on the things that I had going on, and it was too much. When I should have let that stuff go and been over here, you know, talking, getting to know this young lady, I was over here focusing on dumb stuff. I wanted to do my thing, you know. I wasn't sinning. And let me say that now. I was not sinning. But I was doing little boy games, you know. I was over here. I was playing video games and going, you know, all of that little stuff. You know, none sinful. But she wanted to get to know me. She didn't want to get to know the game. The Lord don't want you just the Lord. I said that to say this. The Lord just don't want you to come to Him when you need Him. Sometimes he wants to spend time with you. Sometimes he wants to communicate with you. Sometimes he wants to speak to you. This young lady wanted to speak to me about her problems. She wanted to know more about me. Sometimes the Lord wants you to know, wants to allow you to tell him what's going on with you. How can I help you? But we don't do that. We find other ventures like the world does. We find other avenues to try to vent our frustrations. We don't need to do that. Go to the Lord. Tell him all about it. Have a little talk with Jesus. And tell him all about your troubles. Amen. And let it go. Let it go. I didn't even get through everything on my notes. I went before the throne of God. I've been before the throne of God all week long, y'all. And I like I said, I've been in consecration all week long, and the Lord has truly, truly blessed. I mean, once you go in these last 2 minutes that I have, I'll say this, and this is not part of the topic today. We're done. But once you get into a mode with God, once you get into a thing with God, don't you know all of that stuff that you worried about, God will fix that stuff. I haven't had a worry all week long. I haven't had to do anything. Do you understand me? Do you hear me today? My wife would be going through this past week. She said, "What's going on?" I said, "Nothing." Most of the time I didn't tell her I was even fasting or nothing. I didn't tell her. Well, why didn't you tell her so she could fast with you? This is my own personal thing here. I got to have a personal relationship with God for myself. This was a time for me not to tell her. It was just between me and God. Amen. So get you a relationship with God. In Acts 2:38, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to see the Lord's one day, in Jesus' name. The Lord has a reward for us, but it is up to us to go after it. The Bible says that one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. We have to seek him in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. I cannot believe it's already been an hour, in Jesus' name. But I praise God for being here. I praise God for Bishop Cook allowing us to come one more time, one more Saturday, on the Spirit Alive Network. This is the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, and this is the Spirit Alive Network, the transformation station where God can transform your life, in Jesus' name. But that's only if you let him, in Jesus' name. God bless you, in Jesus' name. I love you. And until next week, this is the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Continue. Stay tuned in on Monday. We will be having the Summit Internet Radio Podcast Show on Spotify. So, amen. God bless you, in Jesus' name.